tub. They've got a couple people.
So there's
a couple
people.
That's how it works. This is great. This is just awesome. this is Eric Rice, and Jake Ludington is here with me from the Chris Perillo Show.
Speaking of that, this stream that you're listening to right now, the actual like link to the stream, that is the same link that you can listen to the Chris Perillo Show live every Thursday from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific or GMT minus 8, depending on where you live in the world.
What a plug. Does that mean I can plug...
You can plug
EricRice.com
plug the Eric Rice Show.
And audio blog and all
yes.
that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And it looks like I see some people here, and I'm looking at the chat room in IRC, and it looks like we have some people from Southern California. I see somebody from Germany. I see Nicole Simone. I think it's pronounced Simone. I want to say Simon, but I heard somebody say Simone. And
Type into the chat room and tell her to give us a phonetic.
She'll hear this, and she'll say... What?
She'll say, you idiot.
It's pronounced like this, but anyway. We like to engage the audience. See, that's what we like to do. And, of course, now everybody's leaving, and they're walking by the booth window, and they're waving who we got here.
Nicole wants to punch the blog lines guys, though.
She wants to punch... Yeah, well, I don't know about that. We could take questions, I suppose.
Hey, Eric, what is Audioblog? Why don't you go ahead and give them explain what Audioblog is.
That question came... Okay, this is not a plug. Somebody asked me a question. It's a podcast and video blog creation and publishing service.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I don't know. You want to be a rock star?
Give us more details.
Well, yeah, there's this little thing called blogging, and actually we are... you can upload an MP3 file or a WAV. You can record MP3s over the web, or you can phone it in. You can publish it to your blog.
So is it podcasting?
Actually, yeah. You could create your own RSS feed, make a naked RSS feed for just podcasts only, or if you're using something like FeedBurner.
A naked RSS feed. Now, that sounds compelling.
Yeah, it's hot, man. Podcasting, I'll tell you, it's hot. And, of course, even video blogging, uploading videos from, like, your digital camera.
So you're kind of an aggregator. You probably should have been down there.
No, we don't want to do aggregation.
You don't do aggregation
I do not
at all?
Want to be in the directory business, personally. I mean, there's 15 million directories. That's
Come on, let the fingers do the walking.
I'd rather make a directory of directories. And thank God for OPML. No, I don't know. So there you go. Yeah, so it's real exciting, all sorts of stuff.
Very cool. So instead of listening to us ramble, maybe we should give people the rebroadcast of the Gilmore Gang from yesterday.
Yes, and the streaming is provided by Lime Light Networks.
Correct.
I don't have any of the ad copy here, and I can't crinkle the paper. I'm one of the firm believers.
You can crinkle the napkin. That
yeah,
might work.
You can't hear that. I just love the crinkling of the paper.
Here, crinkle the program
here
so
we
you
go.
Can feel better about
you
it.
You got to pull out. Nah, it's not the same. It doesn't have the same
It doesn't have crispness.
Okay, so there you go. We're done. Yeah, comments from the peanut gallery there in the chat room. All right. Now it's punchy. I'm going to go get something to eat. A little bit of music as we get ready to rebroadcast the Gilmore Gang from yesterday. I don't know if we're going to be able to rebroadcast the whole thing, because is there anything going on during this lunch?
There is not anything audio going on during this lunch, which is why I opted to do that.
Okay, there you go.
So we should be able to broadcast the thing in its entirety, because it's about it's just under an hour long, and we've got about an hour and a half for lunch.
After lunch, we have tomorrow's media, J.D. Lassica, Terry Heaton, Corey Bergman, Steve Rubel, Chris Lupin on tomorrow's public relations. We have Denise Howell, Buzz Bergman, Jason Calacanis on today's digital legalities. We're going to wrap up the day then with the closing keynote from Adam Curry.
At 4:15.
Bade? That's my Adam Curry impression. So my hair is just not spiky.
You got to work on the hair.
Yeah, there you go. All right, a little music, and then we're going to hear the Gilmore Gang. I'm Eric Rice. Jake Ludington's here with me. Numdex 5.0 in Seattle. Numdex.com. If you want to donate, if you find value in what you're listening to, not us, the speakers, donate to donations@lockernome.com. We'll see you after the break.
pictured in me.
There we go. Start the revolution without.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Doug?
Good afternoon. My name is Doug Kay. I'm the executive producer of IT Conversations. And today I am tingling with anticipation to bring you another edition of the Gilmore Gang from the Pod Show Network. And now, here's your host, Steve Gilmore.
Thank you. How about this?
I never imagined that I would actually see that live. It's a phenomenon, cultural thing.
Thanks, Ed.
You're welcome.
Okay, I want to welcome everybody to a live taping of the Gilmore Gang. I guess it's going out on the Chris Perillo Network as well. And we've got some great guests here today. Due to some last-minute negotiations, we have the two podfathers sitting next to each other. Now, I originally wanted to have my brother sitting in between them, but things have been going so well that I figured we don't need to have anybody. And then Dean, of course, who's just made this really exciting announcement about Microsoft's plans. You know, when is the Longhorn shipping again?
2006. Our next set of shirts actually says Longhorn Heart Shipping.
Really simple shipping, right?
Really simple shipping. I like it.
And, of course, my old cohort and the genius behind IT Conversations, Doug Kay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get going with this. And oh, by the way, we've got the Scobalizer Bunny in the audience. That's right. And he just keeps on ticking. So as we get into this, everybody except Mark Cannon can say something. All right, so...
He needs no microphone.
I'd like... I'd like to start with Dave Weiner, because that's where it all started. And I want to ask you, Dave, did you really think we were going to be here this quick?
Be where?
In this room with what is going on in RSS land.
It's pretty cool what happened. I thought, you know, yeah, I don't know. Did I think it was going to happen this quick? I don't know. I didn't think it was actually going to happen. At Microsoft, I mean, there's been a lot of struggling over a lot of years. Over what XML should be. I mean, that's, you know, sort of pop back to what we were arguing about, you know, whatever. First time I ever met you, you know, SOAP was the big issue. I mean, we had something very much like the Gilmore Gang. I don't remember, Sam Ruby and Adam Bosworth, I forget all, there were a lot of people on there, and we were doing SOAP interop. I don't know how many people even know what SOAP is. And, you know, Microsoft was embarking on what would be a multi-billion-dollar investment in XML and the W3C technologies around XML. And at the time, I was working on RSS, and I had meetings with people, Andrew Lehman, among others, at Microsoft, and, you know, said, hey, you know, you guys ought to support RSS. It's something you can do right now. You can... like sort of do this while you're getting all that other great stuff together, and you know, basically said, well, we have something much bigger in mind, and it's gonna, you know, don't bother us with this like little RSS thing, you know. And I kind of, if we had had a talk that day, I would have said, well, you know, someday they'll eat those words, and you know, and they'll be coming back and doing RSS. And now I'm wearing a Microsoft jacket now, and somewhere on here it says RSS. Yep, they're right there. So, I don't know. Did I think I would ever see that? I don't know if I actually thought I would ever see it. All right, at some level I did.
I want to flash forward a little bit to when Dan Gilmore, my brother, my younger, smarter brother, as I lyingly refer to him. When you hooked up with Dave Weiner and started a blog, a mainstream publication like the San Jose Mercury News, which you've now viciously abandoned for the Silicon Valley venture capital space. I got away with space in front of both Adam and Dave here. Did you think that we would be where we are? Do you think this is quick or slow?
Oh, it's quick. Keep in mind, this room is the ultimate in early adopters. So we are not representative of anything except the people in this room. But the creativity of the folks here and what's coming out of what you all are doing is going to just blow people's mind, and not very long from now. But RSS, most people have no idea what that is or what it means, but everyone is going to feel the impact of it in pretty short order, and surprising to me how quickly it's catching on as something that people are aware that they ought to know more about. And that's going to be pretty amazing. And podcasting, however misnamed the word is, it's catching on again faster than I thought.
Well, podcasting is just about Senseo, those little pods. It's got nothing to do with... Speaking of Senseo, Adam Curry, describe for us how you and Dave hooked up around the, you provided the impetus for the, or one of the impetuses for the enclosure tag, and how that came about.
Wow, that was 2000, I think it was, and it was. I describe it as the peanut butter and chocolate that created Reese's peanut butter cups, where we kind of bumped into each other.
Which is which?
I'm not going to touch that one. I really appreciate it.
I wouldn't go there.
But what was beautiful about that, and that was in New York. We both kind of happened to be in New York, and we connected. And what was beautiful about it is Dave was patient enough to listen to me rant and rave and describe something that I really couldn't understand myself, but I kind of knew what I was trying to say.
I actually was pretty irritated. I don't know if that came across.
No, not really.
Okay. Yeah. Well, why is this guy repeatedly telling me something that's so obviously not true, that video on the internet could actually work? Because I knew, everybody knew it couldn't work, right?
Yeah, so I was saying, well, from my broadcast background, 99% of everything you see on television, certainly, and radio is a different conversation, but 99% of everything you see on television is produced hours, days, weeks, if not months or years in advance of the actual airtime. So when 2000 was pretty much when broadband was being marketed as always on connectivity. So if it's always on and you're only using a little bit of your connection, it seemed to me that you could use that that downtime, essentially, to drip stuff in.
I'm not familiar with that always-on thing.
Not here, you mean.
Yeah.
the point being that the experience, and I always intended all of this to be completely invisible, and the way the iPod or development went, it became much more of a player environment. I just want it to be FM, fucking magic, where it just kind of shows up and it says, oh, you have something, and you double-click on it, and there's a 100-megabyte file. And when Dave then, after the irritation, went back and said, okay, and I think I know how to do this with the enclosure element, it was like 4 years that we'd be sending big video trailers back and forth, and I'm blogging about it. Look, this is amazing what happened. And all we could hear was like crickets. Yeah. No one was hearing.
It just like happened so quickly, but it didn't, from either of our perspective, happen quickly. It was a 4 year process. It was 2000 to 2004, basically. Yep.
Another overnight sensation. Yeah. Right?
Too bad you have to be in Korea to make it work right. We still have no real bandwidth.
That's not true.
Yeah.
Iceland. I don't know.
But of course, what and there's another factor that came into this was the iPod, and I think that really was an important part of what brought it all together, because it's about an experience where we're if you look I'm sponsored by Fuji. What are you talking about, man? The experience of radio, which, you know, streaming radio, which we've had for a long time, is just not the same. You know, people listen to radio primarily during what we call drive time. That's in the morning when you drive to work or to school, and in the afternoon when you drive home. That's also where all the money is made. That's what radio is about. And to be able to capture the attention of people at that moment through an iPod, which of course was marketed as a jukebox, and we're still living with a legacy of ID3 tags that are evolve around music. You know, it was marketed to people in a way that no one really ever thought about it as anything else, or as perhaps a transistor radio that you could tune into other things other than just continuous tracks of music. That was a very important part that happened in that 4-year time period.
So now, Dean, what on earth made you think that you should get in bed with all these crazy people?
Well, first and foremost, they're cute. Right? I mean, just look at these guys. I don't know if I'd use that verb and noun combination, but to me, it's not so much about these guys, right? Because they're great. Look at these guys, right? As your younger, better-looking, more successful brother said, you.
He's successful at reaming a new orifice for you guys.
You look at this room and you see a bunch of what the media will call influentials. And what does that mean? That means they think creatively, they think independently, they don't really worry about the boundaries, they're willing to mix peanut butter and chocolate, right? So this is the right crowd to come to and say, hey, RSS is amazing today, it's powerful, it's got to be in more places. There are so many more uses, there's so much more goodness that can happen. And as I said, I think podcasting is amazing because it's a specific instance. It's something very concrete that you can put your hands around and say, hey, my life is better, right? My life's better, my PC when I'm not around can go and do all the stuff and it can sync in this way and my life got better. I get it, I have a specific example. And this is the right crowd to go through and say, it's great to have one, but let's have a lot. You know, what else can we do with this? And you know, I'm happy to be here and say, look, here are these Lego pieces. Here are these construction blocks. What do you guys think? You know, what can we make next? That's, I think that these guys have got a great example. Again, it's the first. Go ahead, Dave.
Jump in.
Oh, I just think it's such an interesting contrast between Apple and Microsoft. Apple says about Microsoft, Microsoft has no taste, right? And I listen to that and I say that's a positive. Because and this is an interesting contrast between Adam and myself. I mean, my message for podcasting is anybody can do it. If you listen to my podcast, what do? I stick a microphone out the window when there's a thunderstorm going on and I talk over it. You know, do I do any editing? No. I just basically take whatever comes off the microphone and then upload that, and then that's what you get. And Microsoft and Windows gives you this installed base, which is just unbelievably huge. But the quality is going to be the quality of every man. It's going to be, you know, poor taste, but it's going to be relevant to you because your brother or sister is going to be doing it, or your niece or nephew, or somebody personal, somebody that you know will be doing this. And they won't be, you know, drive time as much as it will be, you know, just exactly the people you want to hear from, you know. And of course, there's room for both approaches. They're both completely valid. The other one says, let's produce this stuff and go be commercial and, you know, put up your bottle of water so everybody can see who endorsed you.
$8
did you? Okay. All right. You know, but there's your yin and your yang, and, you know.
Well, let's hear from the yang on the commercialized aspect.
That's you.
Adam.
What's the yang of
it? No, I mean, I don't want to hear Dave describe what you think. I'd like to hear you describe.
In many ways, this is the dream of someone who's been a broadcaster all his life, and it's not just limited to audio. It can be done in many ways. Although I think the actual portability of headphones with sound is a very important part of it. But all my life, I've always wanted to broadcast. What were the limiting factors? Who owns the rights to the frequency? So who allows you to get on and actually distribute? So that is all about distribution, which is most business is surrounded around distribution. At the same time, time. And those are the two limiting factors, and they've just been blown away. It's gone. So if you want to do a podcast or a broadcast, whatever you want to call it, for a small environment, for people who are in the hospital, which I used to do on a closed-circuit system, or if you want to do try and reach 100 million people, that's all possible. If you just want to do something like the equivalent of an audio greeting card, it's all valid. So for me personally, this is the holy grail of removing the gating factors of bandwidth through the ether and time.
All right. Well, enough of the softballs. How about what did you actually say to Steve Jobs, behind closed doors about the directory?
About the directory?
Yeah.
I said, please take our OPML file. And please provide your own when you're done building your directory, because that's what I say to everyone who's interested in building a directory. Dave introduced me to the concept of OPML directories. I loved it immediately because it was something I could actually do. It's really cut and paste. It's not all that hard. I spent a lot of time, and luckily there's this beautiful new tool that is coming that will enable it to be much easier for people to create an OPML file. That's what I spent a lot of my time on, is helping people get that up and running. But the whole point is, this is, in fact, Jobs said, well, we think there are too many top-level categories. I said, well, that's your opinion, and so I think you should make your own top-level categories and make it however you want. And they are, they being Apple, are just sucking it all in, and the OPML file, that is, and they're looking for any other podcasts that or any other directories. I don't know if they're going to provide the OPML on the back end. I think it would be right for the way we operate.
They have to do that. That's well, the contract, isn't it? I mean, if they're using the content that the community is providing, it seems to me that they ought to feel impelled to provide it back.
I made that very clear.
Well, we've got Dean here. Why don't we ask Dean? When Scoble, do you think Microsoft wants to do...
This is the longest period of time Scoble has ever held a microphone.
Don't change the subject, Dean. This is a question directed at you. I mean, do you understand what Adam is saying about directories? And, do you want to do that? Do you want to get involved in that process? Or are you just going to wait and see how it turns out? Or
It took me 2 years to get Microsoft on the RSS.
Okay, all right.
I hope it's not going to take 2 years to get them on the OPML.
Okay, good.
Yeah, are we going to have shirts next year that say OPML?
See, this is what the demo, when my demo died, this is kind of what I was getting to, but I lost my net connection, so we'll try again some other time, but, this
I'm asking you that question, Dean.
Will there be an iHeart OPML?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't. I think there's a bunch of things that OPML does well, a bunch of things that RSS does well. The folks on my team and Dave, I think, spent how many hours the last time you're in town going back and forth, and it was another...
I thought I convinced them, too. I was actually pretty sure that I had convinced them.
Okay, and I don't know whether it was a peanut butter and chocolate discussion or some other kind of discussion around, well, here's the stuff that OPML is really good for, and here's the stuff that RSS is really good for.
They'll do it.
Sorry, what?
The answer is yes, they'll do it.
Okay.
I can't speak for Apple.
Are you now?
Look, I understand. The thing is, do it with what? To what? I mean, the problem. OPML solves
the questions that you were asking about RSS last year.
Well, so there are directories of RSS feeds that come to you in OPML. So if you're wanting to be on Team RSS, Dean, you're reading OPML anyway, and you're writing it too. So that didn't come up in the talk, but as I understood it, yes, you were doing that, right?
Sure. So let me give a specific example. In the common feed list, so hey, there's this common feed list. It's sitting there. It's all the stuff that I've subscribed to because it's what I care about. Is it going to be easy to pull that out as OPML and put it back in as OPML?
Sure.
Okay, but
Dave Sifri has a question.
Hey, Dee. That's wonderful, and I'm so excited by the vision of the common feed list in the long run. I think it's awesome. My question is around synchronization and synchronization formats.
Okay.
Have you decided on one, and have you looked at attention.xml, and what are your thoughts on it?
You know, I honestly don't know. I have this funny role. I'm a general manager. And that means that I've been so dangerous in my past, they don't let me write code anymore. I haven't been so dangerous that I'm a VP yet, right? That's a whole different league. So the answer is I don't know, because I haven't had that set of reviews with a team. There are other folks around here who are wearing these shirts who might have a better answer than me. I'm happy to talk to you about it.
Totally open standard.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I want to know, other than the attention question, is what is the openness or lack of it of the synchronization store? What is the mechanism that's going to be, and also the question I asked you during your session, which was, will synchronization be available in IE7? Is this going to be down-level support across XP, or is this...
Do you mean synchronization, my PC up across the internet, or the synchronization
right.
PC, you know, whatever device I have?
Well, let me just tell you what I'm asking you. What I see the synchronization... tools that you were discussing.
Again, like which? I'm sorry that I look like a bad dancer here. I don't know which.
When you store that information about subscriptions.
Okay.
Okay. To me, that's a Trojan horse for attention metadata.
Okay.
Now, I don't say that in a negative way. I want you to do this. So I'm asking you, is that going to be open for developers in a way that can be abstracted across the iTunes store, for example, and other... kinds of interoperable so-called platforms.
Again, I'm sorry I'm being so dense. You want to know if which thing can be abstracted out?
The subscription information, to me, is the doorway. One of the things about attention.xml has been that people like Scott Rafer, who I think is in the audience here, at Feedster, took a look at what Dave Sifri and his team had put together and decided that this might be a very good solution for the synchronization problem. In other words, what we read. We're suffering from information overload here, and I don't want to get into what we're going to get into in the next topic, but it seems to me that what you've established here, among other things, is a persistent storage mechanism for this. Is that going to be open, and can it be abstracted to include, for example, a simple attention spec like something that records who you read, what you read, and for how long you read it?
Sure. You can go through and you write some code, and it can do whatever you want. It'll go into that store. It'll pull out all the information. You can put properties on that information. You know, I think at the most basic, it's stuff like read or unread, but you can imagine adding other pieces of information on top of it. You can imagine making that information about each feed and about each item in the feed available across a whole bunch of different applications that you're running on your local machine. So just, you know, I think about what developers will do, and I go, stop worrying about all the underpinnings and plumbings and start doing the really cool stuff. When we described this platform to someone recently, she had this great example. She goes, see, I mean, I can subscribe to Craigslist, and fine, it's going to bring all the apartment listings down. But if I can specify, but it'll be possible for me to tell some piece of code, this is what I care about, and when my dream apartment comes in, you'll page me. I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, somebody should sit down and write the, here's how I describe what's interesting to me. And somebody else could write, the same person could write the, here's the best way to get a hold of me. And you can imagine all these things getting pieced together, and all of a sudden, these RSS feeds that are coming in, and I hate to say it this way, instead of being just blogs or just podcasts, like all the information that you can imagine coming in that way, and all
you mean
the
like a little soliloquy, like the one that Adam does?
You can imagine all the information coming in, lots of really smart code doing all of it. Somebody else said, when I describe this, I mean, so I could go run a text-to-speech engine over all the podcasts that I download. And I was like, sure. You know, why not?
But you said the right thing.
Okay.
Now we're in a place where this is happening. Are you going to take those tools and record everybody's information inside Loghorn?
I have no idea why we'd do that. I have no idea when we'd have time to look at it.
In order to provide a service to allow people to be able to improve the results of their aggregators.
Sure. You know.
And what I really want to know is that data going to be available to an open store of a data stream, the attention stream?
Probably WinFS, which is coming in a...
Yeah. So the question, like, is it possible? Sure. Is Microsoft going to do that in Loghorn? I'm not aware of any plans to do that. I know that my team
doesn't have enough time to get around to writing that code.
Well, how about if Google does it? Then will you do it?
See, if Google does it, well, you know, I'll probably download it. I'll probably try it. I'll probably, candidly, I'll probably make sure that it never breaks, no matter how we change our code. And, you know, we'll put some more thought into what we should actually provide. To me, you know, time is scarce, right? And we try to figure out what's the best code that we can write in terms of how we use our scarce time and scarce people. I know it's bizarre to hear the word scarce and Microsoft next to each other, but that really is how I'm thinking about it.
Great. I'd like to open it up to people in the audience. Raise your hand and the bunny will be there.
Yeah, hi, I'm Dave Hudson from MessageCast, now Microsoft. I have a question for Adam and Dave. So, Adam, I asked you a little bit about this last night. You know, pretend that iTunes now is a directory and it's successful and open and everything. What do you think is going to happen when podcasts and video and all kinds of media are available? You know, how's it going to change the infrastructure of the current, you know, broadcast world and media world?
Well, I fully expect Apple will do deals. You know, they pretty much in bed with Hollywood, so I think they'll do big deals with companies like Clear Channel, and will bring everything that's already being broadcast today on traditional broadcast networks into an RSS enclosure delivery mechanism. I think that's great. I think if something's boring on the radio, it'll be boring on a podcast. And what that does is it really opens up people's eyes, I think, to okay, here's a way I can. I mean, we talk about, really, we have marketing issues. You know, RSS. You know, what will that mean to someone? Will that mean the same to consumers at one point that DVD means, or VHS, or any of these other acronyms? I don't know. I think publish and subscribe, will eventually dawn on people. And once you understand that that this is for everyone and that you can subscribe to other people's content that way and also create it, which is a very important part of it, who knows where that's going to go. But traditionally, billion-dollar companies don't go away overnight. And certainly companies like Clear Channel won't just dry up. So it'll be a game to see what happens. We'll see things become very popular, and we'll see popular things become unpopular.
I was there too. I want to get my two cents in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, but he's already pointing away. I was talking with a guy out in the hall about this SnapStream, right? And I mean, his story is so neat and compact. He's doing a desktop PVR, runs on your PC. And he asked, well, what do you think about using RSS for this? I said, sure. A TV network becomes an RSS feed, right? And that sort of is pretty simple, easy to understand. And then all of a sudden it dawns on you that the same thing happens there. The same awakening is available to them that was available to the news media, the news business, and that they woke up one day and found out that all the bloggers in the world were available on the same aggregator platform that their news was, and that they had to compete with us. Right. And all of a sudden, and that was, I understand Steve was there when that moment came, and saw the look on their faces, and it wasn't really a very happy look. So, I mean, blogging and podcasting have pretty much the same effect, and it's exactly the same people. I mean, on both sides of the equation, it's the same people. Bloggers are podcasters, and big media is big media. And, you know, I don't think there's any question. Scoble was the guy who came up with this way of looking at it. It's like podcasting and blogs are high nutrition content. It's real stuff. It's real people. So, like, when Steve Jobs said we're like Wayne's World, I think he got it wrong, exactly opposite. Wayne's World is like us. We're the real thing. Wayne's World is the fiction, you know. So, I mean, it's hard to compete when you're, like Adam said, you know, garbage in, garbage out, right? Whatever it is you put on a podcast, if it sucked when it was broadcast, it sucks when it's on the podcast. You know, I think reality TV ought to be, like, real, you know, like, really real.
Robert, before you go to the next question, can you comment on what Dave just said? about you.
High nutrition, right?
Oh, well, I was talking about I started using search engines like PubSub and Feedster and Technorati to bring me news, and that's purified sugar. You know, so if I do a search for the word Linux, yeah, it brings me back. It brings me all this good, interesting stuff about Linux, but it's purified. It doesn't bring me the random stuff that goes on in people's lives that actually is human and lets me build a relationship with them. You know, like the developer who had who lost their child, their newborn child, a month ago. You know, I would never have seen that if I was just searching on the word Linux, right? But now I have something human, an experience that I can talk about here at conferences with people. Or everybody should make sure they see Julie Leon's
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
You know, I would never have been able to meet her or understand her or build a relationship with her if I was just searching on the word Linux or searching on the word, you know, Longhorn or Macintosh or whatnot.
So, first of all, I want to thank Dean and Dave and whoever else had anything to do with Microsoft supporting an open standard, and for your contributions of your extensions to the community. And I just want to introduce you to my buddy Doug Kay, who's sitting on the panel with you. He was part of a group that we call OurMedia.org, and we ascertained some metadata standards for media. J.D. Lassica, my partner, will be talking about that tomorrow, and this is very apropos to podcasting, because this is great that what goes on in podcasting, but I can't find out who's on the recording, what the recording's about. There's no so-called metadata standards. So, again, great, Microsoft, thank you. There's this little company called Yahoo that's working on that. That's called Media RSS. There's this other little company called Google. You might have heard of them. So, you know, good start. Right on to you. Right on to Chris Perillo for making it happen. But talk to my buddy Doug Kay or JD, and we'll keep the effort moving forward.
Doug, you want to come in?
Yeah, I think the metadata question is critical. I get mail almost every day from people who they want the titles in my podcast to be longer or shorter. They want the ID3 tags to say this or that, and there's no way to satisfy everybody because right now the metadata in ID3, for example, is so limited. So, I think, Media RSS is a great step. I encourage everybody to take a look at that. It's not difficult to implement. I don't know whether it's the answer to the problem, but we do need to have much better metadata, because the biggest thing that's going to happen when Apple comes out with iTunes 4.9 is there's going to be a flood of stuff. So the question is, will it affect all of us that are podcasters? The majority of us from day one, no. Because there will be a flood of stuff. What's really happening with iTunes, of course, is that they're putting podcasting on the map. That's what's happening. I mean, it's been a very small group of people talking to themselves, like the early days of blogging. And now if you turn on CNN or something like that, you know, the anchors are saying, so let's check and see what the blogs are saying. And so, people do know what that word is. So anyway, the metadata really is critical. I want to say one other thing, just because I've got a microphone. just a bit of perspective that comes out of the question previously asked. Just something to think about. Think about the levels of influence. Right now, Chris, are you here? Chris Perillo?
Hi.
Hey, how many people do we have at the conference?
We're pushing 400.
Okay, so we got about 400 people at the conference. And we're all, all one big family here, and it all sounds very important, and we're doing great stuff, but this is such a small number. But we do a lot of conferences at IT Conversations, and one of the things that I'm trying to work with on conference organizers, Chris Perillo is one who gets it, is that the people in this room are a small fraction of the influence sphere of this event. The podcasts from this event will be heard not by 400 people or 4,000, it will be heard by probably 150 to 200,000 people. And so, more, Robert says
that's
more.
That's just a gadget leads to it.
Oh, yeah, right. So we've got to consider when we do an event like this that the sphere of influence is much larger. But what we're looking at, even there, let's say it's a quarter or half a million, that's still a small number. Adam is talking about hitting the 100 million mark. That's when all of this really becomes mainstream. So I think you look at steps like Podshow, you look at things like iTunes getting onto the podcasting bandwagon, and we're looking then at really bumping this to those kinds of levels.
Dave, you're shaking your head.
Because I have no interest in 100 million people listening to what I have to say. There's, if I ever say anything that's of interest to 100 million people, I'm really screwing up.
No, it's 100 million major people listening to the podcast, not to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I like that a lot better. I mean, I'm the definition of not mainstream. I'm totally not mainstream. And to be mainstream, you have to, like, take your soul and bleed it out. It has to go down the drain.
Yeah.
You can't be mainstream. That's not.
You don't have that as a value judgment.
I do, absolutely. Do I mean it? Yeah, you're being sarcastic.
I'm talking about the medium mainstream, not any one individual, because, of course, the beauty will still remain that we can talk to small audiences. The fact is that right now there is a barrier between a small creator, content creator, and that audience because they don't know that this intermediate medium exists.
Yeah, but, you know, there's something about what you said, Doug, that I just totally don't support. Is that validation comes from hundreds of millions of people, okay? There are plenty of things that are worth doing that never reach that kind of scale. There's just plenty of them, right? I mean, good, you see, they like it. I mean, I said this to somebody that, you know, how many people have PhDs, right? Is it 100 million people? I don't think so. But yet we don't shut down the graduate schools, and we don't say that they're a failure. We still encourage people to get them because it's good to have people doing things, even if not everybody can do it.
I think I didn't explain myself properly then. What I'm saying is there are a small number of people at one end and a small number of people at the other end, and the problem is that the people at the other end may not know that the technology and the opportunity exists. By making that technology mainstream, you don't say that everybody has to be big-time commercial success. You only have the universality. That's what I'm trying to talk about.
Okay, can I respond? Okay, what I've found in promoting this stuff, because I've kind of made it, you can hardly call it a career, I haven't made any money doing it, but it's still something that I do, okay, I like to do, is I like to set the expectations lower and then overachieve, rather than always be thinking, well, we won't reach it until we get much better or bigger or whatever than what we're doing. So people ask me all the time, is RSS, you know, a success? And I say, yeah, it's totally a success. Do you think it's going to be, how's it going to be mainstream? How's it going to get to be mainstream? I say, maybe it doesn't have to be mainstream.
Steve,
why do we have to always be thinking that way? I mean, the best football coach that I ever saw in the world was Bill Walsh, right? San Francisco 49ers. This guy changed the way I think about not just football, but business and every endeavor. He would always say how great the competitor is, you know, how great his adversary is. How his team has all these problems and, you know, we're not really... That way when he wins, well, if he loses, well, you know, they're such a great team. But if he wins, then he looks so much better.
Unfortunately, George Bush took that idea and ran with it.
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry.
Hello, I'm Tom Sales with Tom's Words of Wisdom. And while this group is together, one of the things that I would like to hear you guys talk about... is you've talked a lot about the growth of podcasting, and talk a little bit about the importance of BitTorrent or similar peer-to-peer bandwidth sharing to the future growth of podcasting and RSS in general.
Well, it's huge for podcasting. I mean, BitTorrent is the solution. It has gained traction. The LibSync guys, I noticed this, that the BitTorrent module that we defined is actually being deployed. I always thought that I'd be the one to deploy it. We defined an extension, kind of like what Microsoft did today, an extension that allowed you to include BitTorrent objects inside of an RSS feed. And I thought it was like lying dormant. And turns out is it Libsyn?
Libsyn,
right. Yeah, that they're doing it. And I was kind of blown away. I just happened to look. So, in other words, it's not a futuristic thing. It's done. It's being done. And it's salvation. It's nothing less than salvation. Let's just hope. I mean, are they supporting this in iTunes? Or?
Not that I know of.
That's a mistake. Yeah, they should be.
I agree with you that we... I don't know if it's BitTorrent per se, and I'll tell you why. We totally need a peer-to-peer solution because the bandwidth is it's just expensive if you get it above a certain level, and that's all relative, but the reason why I personally have held back a little bit is because I felt that, you know, with what's going on right now with the Grokster case and everything surrounding the MPAA and BitTorrent, I just didn't want to be pulled out as a poster child. He's using BitTorrent, therefore he's doing something illegal. So I think that if we can get past certain perceptual hurdles, it'll be very, very
useful. But you should, you see, that's like your argument with Steve Jobs, right, that he should do his directory open. You should do it precisely because of that. You're a non-infringing application. You're completely within your rights to use it. That's what you should be doing. I'm going to tell you, like, do you sell Steve Jobs? Adam, do it.
The more people here use things like BitTorrent, the more you legitimize it, because it has legitimate uses, and it needs to be done that way.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that that podcasting is you know, potentially the salvation for BitTorrent, because it provides, you know, the mulch for a fair use scenario that the courts have already bought.
No, it's not infringing. It's different from fair use. Fair use this is much stronger than fair use.
Right.
Non-infringing. They can't stop it. It's First Amendment.
I understand. And the fair use provisions were...
Fair use says I can use your stuff. Non-infringing says, hey, this is mine. You can't touch it.
What we're talking about is a political attack on BitTorrent.
Right.
And the ultimate solution for that is if we've got all these bits that are licensed appropriately,
legal,
by us, as opposed to the RIAA, we're in business. So, you know, my scenario is that if this doesn't get any better, that we just name all our files from now on West Wing, and and let them try and figure out which ones are the infringing ones.
All right, raise your hand if you're willing to sign on to Steve's protocol.
So,
raise your hand if you're willing to have
Yeah, but go buy attention first.
Hey, I see. That's why you're the smarter brother, right?
Keith. So I wanted to address Dave's point about validation and the point about 100 million. I agree with Dave on validation. For me, it would be validation if, you know, my mum listened to my podcast. I'd feel validated.
My mom does listen to my podcast.
Anise does, yeah. My mum doesn't.
She's even been in it, Keith.
I'm not validated yet, but I will be when she does. But I think the 100 million point, to me, is a different point. I think we're living in a time when, for the first time, it's possible that form and content are not kind of married to each other. You know, when audio doesn't need to be married to broadcast radio, when video doesn't need to be married to broadcast TV, when text doesn't need to be married to a web page or a book, when product catalogs don't need to be married to an e-commerce site. That separation of form and content, where content floats freely and can be re-represented in all kinds of new ways, is going to challenge the business models that the 1.0 era web created and which the old media created. And that is going to get to 100 million people and probably even more than 100 million people as they begin to experience new ways of consuming stuff they want on their own terms. And I think in that sense it is right to think about those big numbers for that big change. Not disagreeing with Dave about the validation point. I don't think it's about validation. I think it's about a total change in the ecosystem. And that will also change the balance of power between creators and distributors.
And can you state that as a question?
Yeah. Would you like to see the creators be more powerful vis-a-vis the distributors?
Anybody? We've got 5 minutes, so...
Mitch Rackley,
do you have an answer?
Stand up forever.
Okay, Mitch, where are you?
They don't have to have questions.
No, did you have a question? Wait for the mic, please. Wait for the mic.
On the form and function discussion, it seems to me that one of the problems that we have with podcasting is that we talk about shows. And what we're really talking about is a wide range of audio communication between people, or video communication, whatever kind of communication. Do you guys think that the emphasis on the show and the structure of the show is limiting what people understand about the way this technology can be applied?
I got news for you. It's not about shows, okay? No, because there's a productivity application here as well. Like, for example, a sales organization might produce just a memo in the form of a podcast And then that gets distributed. I mean, people like to be informed audibly, not just in written. In fact, some people, I vastly prefer it. That's why podcasting works for me. So, and it's not a secret. The major companies know about this one. The major technology companies know about it. And I've thought I've knocked on doors thinking that I would turn them onto an idea they hadn't thought of. They're thinking about it. So you maybe not heard a lot of publicity about it because people don't have products ready for it yet. But that's coming.
Adam, you have a comment?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because when we were first talking about, we didn't have a name for podcasting. We talked about bundles of passion, I think is what... all kinds of words, shows, this, audio blog, podcasting was a great word for the media to pick up and run with, and that worked very well. But I agree totally with Dave. Lectures are being done now in podcast form. If you want to call it a show, that's fine. That's my, exactly.
Those aren't shows.
So, but it's to me, it's really just about distribution. I happen to like to make shows. But that doesn't mean that that's the only way that it can be used or the only thing you should call it. I mean, we'll see more applications for the distribution that is podcasting that'll just blow everyone's mind. I mean, to me, that's very evident just in many ways that that's going to happen. Museum tours are being done through RSS enclosures. It has nothing to do with the actual word show as it maybe have been used for the past 50 years in broadcasting.
All right, Buzz, last question.
Steve, as I've been running around America, when I simply explain to people that this is learning on demand, they understand.
All right. Scoble, do you have anything to say before we wrap this up? All right, well, while you're running...
he yields his time.
Hi, John Hartman here. I think it's a total revolution in media and how we're looking at it. I think the audience becomes the provider and it's all intermingled now. Everybody is their own NBC, CBS, whatever, and it's not about podcasting, it's not about video blogging, it's not about blogging, it's about all of it. And it's about how we're taking control and the shifting.
Well, of course, you'd say that. Look at all the
15
stuff
cameras.
Tell us how you got there. I mean, my God.
You're the whole media center.
You are a network, my man. I mean, that is amazing what you got.
I think that when a guy with a cell phone in West Africa can podcast a show or otherwise, Mitch, to people in his community, then we will have reached 100 million listeners. That's what I'm talking about.
During the week when I was arguing with our CEO, four guys on four separate continents got together on Skype and recorded a podcast and put it up within an hour of my post. And that just told me that the entire world had become as small as a conference room. And thanks to all you guys for doing that.
So. Yeah. And I want to thank Chris Perillo for bringing us all together.
Right on.
This has been a live edition of the Gilmore Gang, and I'm glad to see everybody on this stage, from Microsoft to Adam and Dave to Doug Kay and to Dan Gilmore. This is Steve Gilmore saying thanks a lot for listening, and stay tuned. Yo.
You just heard a live edition of the Gilmore Gang, hosted by Steve Gilmore. Guests include Doug Kay, Dave Weiner, Adam Curry, and Dean Hakamovic.
Okay, we're running I think we're, for the most part, on schedule, right? The next one doesn't start until 12:45 or 1:45. Is that correct? Oh, it started at 1:30? Let me look at the schedule. Hang on. I apologize. Okay. So it's here. We got, obviously, where'd Steve go? Steve, you're up. It's your session. Dave? Steve,
as people
Scott
are taking the stage, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to the live audio stream from Gnomedex 5.0 in Seattle. This is sponsored by Microsoft, LockerGnome.com, and Yahoo.
it's not exactly panel, and it's not exactly speakers. It's kind of a mixture of the two. So what I was hoping to do is bring together people of like minds, or maybe, you know, separate minds, and just to kind of see what happens.
All right, that was the Gilmore
so putting
gang,
together, you know, Steve Gilmore, who obviously Gilmore Gang is speaking now, Dave Siffrey from Technorati.
And
very happy to have Dave
here.
This is
very
first
shortly in
and,
about
then Scott Gatz from Yahoo, and
minutes,
you remember Scott if you were at Nomdex last year, ended up doing a presentation talking about My Yahoo and its involvement with RSS.
A list of people that I don't
and,
have in front of me right now.
You know, Scott
so
was
stay tuned. And
his
Eric
presentation
Rice
last year went over very well. So I was hoping
shortly.
That Scott would be involved with this year's Nomdex, and he said, "Yeah," and I was like, "Great." I mean, not just because.